Grace to you and peace from the one who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Our reading from Isaiah is much like the reading from last week. It paints a picture of redemption. The people of Israel have been destroyed by the Assyrians. They are there in their ash heaps, and Isaiah sings out, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert will blossom, the crocus shall blossom abundantly, the glory of Lebanon will be given to it. Weak hands made strong. Feeble knees," oh, that one I really adjusted for. "Feeble knees made firm. And those who are afraid will hear the word, be strong, take heart. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the limbs of the lame remade. Streams in the desert. Waters breaking forth in the wilderness. And there will be a new road, a holy way, where everyone who travels upon it will be safe. There will be no lions or jackals or bears. There will be no robbers, no fear. Even fools will be able to find their way in this place." As I read that text, I thought of the fact that that promise of paradise after the hellish destruction of war, it must have really stretched the imagination of Israel. To sit there on the funeral pyres of their people and hear these words of hope from Isaiah, of lions and bears hanging out like vegetarians and a safe road for the remnant of a people who had known nothing but destruction and defeat at the hands of the Assyrians, it must have seemed like an impossible dream. From where they sat, God's image of a return to Eden must have smacked like an alluring but impossible dream. In the same way, we face that same sort of question. Look at John. Remember last week, the Gospel of John? John was so excited because the Messiah was on their way. "Behold, you know, here comes the dude." And he was so excited and had this wonderful vision of what it would be like under the Messiah. And then today in our gospel lesson, something has changed. Sitting in his prison cell, John sends a message to Jesus. "Are you the one? Are you the one who will come to save Israel? Are you the one who will bring wilderness from the dry land and make the desert bloom? Are you the one who will make the holy way? Are you the one?" It seems like such a shift for John. But he must have sat in that prison cell under the occupation of Rome and wondered, "From my perspective, is it possible? Could it be real? Is God's promise real for us?" This week, I have felt much the same. For a long time, I always rejoiced when my iPad would go ding. Usually, it meant a text from my wife or a Snapchat from my daughter with a picture of whatever amazing and incredible food she was eating at restaurants that I can't afford. But for the last 2 weeks, every ding has brought bad news. I subscribe to the BBC, and it sends up the news alerts. And every time it dings, there is another explosion in Aleppo, or a church collapse, or the tragedy of another community broken by war. Another policy decision that will raise questions for those who are least powerful. I have come now to hear that ding, not as a sign of hope and joy, but as a harbinger of doom. It is hard in this third Sunday of Advent to hear the words of Isaiah, which are intended to bring hope and have much hope. In the same way, on this third Sunday of Advent, with only a few short days until the beginning of the Nativity, we are called into that hope time and time again, and it is hard not to be like the people of Israel sitting on our ash heaps, wondering if the words of Isaiah may in fact come true. Sometimes the vision of the Messiah and of Christmas seem to offer more than they can deliver. It's why this third Sunday, often called Joy Sunday, is often a traditional day for Blue Christmas. You've all heard of that, yeah? It's Christmas for depressed people. It's for those of us who, you know, Christmas is not a happy time for everybody, it turns out. So Blue Christmas is a service where we spend some time talking about the hurts and pains of lost loved ones. I will never have Christmas with my mother again. And yet somehow that vision of hope of Isaiah holds its power. Vision of this coming Messiah delivers its promise. You see, the question of John the Baptist is not so much a question of are you the one who we are waiting for, as much as it is perhaps a reassurance that God's presence and God's peace and God's hope remains intact even for those on the ash heap. Isaiah delivers a promise to the people of Israel that God will in fact be Emmanuel. And we know that over time that happens for the people of Israel. They are indeed restored, and the fields are filled, and the land of milk and honey is delivered again and again in God. It's not so much for us about the who of Jesus. It is about the promise that God gives us that helps us move from this kind of abstract Christology about, you know, the baby and Jesus and all of that kind of stuff, and moves us to a more concrete way of being in the world. When John asks, "Are you the one?" how does Jesus answer? "Why, yes, I am." "No. What do you see and hear? The deaf hear and the lame walk and the blind see." The who of Jesus is tied to the evidentiary acts of healing and mercy. Just as Israel must decide for God in the way of Israel, so we must decide for Jesus on the basis of what God is doing in our midst. They and we have to become part of what God is about if we are to truly follow the Christ. The promise of paradise may seem far off, but for the people of Israel, the promise of paradise draws them deeply into God's future and God's presence. And the same is true for us. The vision of the Messiah and Christmas deliver what they promise: that the child is born, and that we are called into a life of living in mercy and justice and kindness and peace in his midst. So what promise is there for you? How is God calling you into God's future? Kicking and screaming like the people of Israel, we move toward God's peace, God's joy, and God's Emmanuel, that the promise of God delivers what it promises. Amen.